You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
From the depths of the sea, this is Transmissions from Atlantis, a sci-fi, fantasy, and horror podcast with a special emphasis on Doctor Who. Featuring the creators of Seekers of the Lost World, Rita and J.C. De La Torre.
Hey there, everybody. I'm J.C. De La Torre.
And I'm Rita De La Torre.
And this is Transmissions from Atlantis, episode 113. And this week we have an awesome show for you. We actually talked to the writer, producer, director, and star of the movie President's Day, which will be coming out on President's Day 2017. And it's a very interesting, funny horror parody movie that we actually got a chance to preview. So we'll talk a little bit about that before we actually have the interview. But it's fun, right?
Yep.
We're also going to talk about the fall TV premieres. Of course, we saw the premiere of Gotham, as well as Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We saw a new show called Designated Survivor. I've been watching Fear of the Walking Dead, so I can talk a little bit about that. She gave up on it a while back, so we'll talk about that a little bit. So that'll be part of our rapid-fire segment, and of course we always have something good for Doctor Who, so we'll talk Doctor Who in a little bit as well. So let's get started with Rapid Fire! And away we go. Gotham.
We finally caught up with season 2, which, as usual, is amazing. And we caught the season premiere of season 3. And so far, it looks like it's going to be another amazing season of Gotham.
For me, Gotham is one of the best shows on television right now. And it just keeps getting better and better. I am so curious to see what they do with the Bruce Wayne lookalike.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Or a clone, or whatever the hell he is.
It's funny, because Bruce Wayne is my favorite character of the show, and he's a character who shouldn't have even gone past the pilot.
Yeah, they were planning on not having him past the pilot, but sure enough, the kid's such a great actor, they decided to keep him on. So there you go. Next, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Ghost Rider.
Me.
Just me?
Just me. I mean, the show has been meh for a long time for me. And now, you know, to me, it's the story fell flat for me at the beginning of this season. I mean, I know it's just the first episode, but I'm like, it just seemed like it didn't go anywhere, and I don't like where the story is going. It's just me.
Well, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has kind of been kind of a meh show since its inception, if you really think about it. And the only time it really got interesting was during the Hydra, you know, who's Hydra, who's not Hydra, that whole kind of conspiracy theory thing. That's when the show worked at its best. This whole Ghost Rider storyline, I'm not too sure about. I loved Ghost Rider as a kid. He was one of my favorite Marvel characters, right up there with Spider-Man. And I'm more familiar with the Johnny Blaze version of Ghost Rider than I am of the new Ghost Rider.
Robbie Reyes.
But I like the new take on Ghost Rider, and I thought the Ghost Rider effects were amazing. I think they were better than what was in the Nicolas Cage movie.
At least it's not a Sky and Friends kind of thing anymore.
It still kind of is, if you really think about it. But I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We watch it because it's Marvel and because it has tie-ins to other stuff within Marvel. But and Ghost Rider's effects were pretty cool. I don't know about the character. We'll have to see how that develops. But overall, I'm kind of with you. It was kind of a lackluster beginning.
Yep. All right, next up, MacGyver.
Talking about meh. Oh my gosh.
The acting was horrible, the storyline was so cliche.
And the writing, I mean, the lines that these poor actors had to deliver was so Hollywood, you know, cut and paste from other shows. And the actors didn't seem to be into the characters at all. They were just kind of like, you know, eh, whatever. Blah, 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 here's my line, eh.
I mean, the guy who played MacGyver, I actually didn't have too much of an issue with, even though he wasn't great.
Yeah, he wasn't a good
But then the one of the villains, Nikki, I could not stand her. It's like, for more than half the show, she just stood there and stared.
Yep.
I'm like, really?
And, you know, that's part of writing, too, but at the same time, it just felt like the actors were just kind of giving in a wooden performance for me, so...
Agreed.
I'm not really crazy about the MacGyver reboot, and to be honest, it's on a Friday night, the dead zone, as they say. The only show that ever made it on a Friday night was The X-Files. I don't see MacGyver as being an X-Files kind of must-see TV kind of thing, where you skip going to the club or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, so I think for me, I probably won't watch any more past the pilot.
Nope, and basically, it's going to be canceled. So don't even waste your time, folks. Now, one show that was worth our time, and it's another new show, was Kiefer Sutherland's Designated Survivor.
Now, mind you, this is not science fiction. It's more political drama,
But
it was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's a bit of an alternate history kind of thing where the Capitol gets blown up with the president and, you know, all the cabinet members except for the designated survivor, which is a real thing. Everybody gets blown up, so this poor guy who's just, you know, like the Secretary of Housing or something like that, he is suddenly the President of the United States. And so he's got people all around him that are, like, doubting him, and he's got to figure out, you know, whether or not to put a war front on. And, I mean, it's high, high political drama. I know... For our listeners, that might not be their cup of tea, but I'm a huge Kiefer Sutherland fan. You know, I loved him in The Lost Boys, and I've loved him in pretty much everything he's ever done. 24. I loved him in Young Guns, you know. So I'm a huge Kiefer fan.
Well, let's put it this way. I am not a fan of political dramas. I was never a huge fan of 24, for example, because I'm just not into those type of shows.
Yeah, because you're crazy.
Whatever. But then Designated Survivor... I watched it, and it really, really piqued my interest, so I'm really looking forward to watching more.
Yep. Next up, Fear the Walking Dead. And you quit on Fear the Walking Dead, so I'm the only one that can really comment on it. And I will say that I think the show's gotten a lot better now that the dead is there. I was actually liking the characters until this last episode, where the mom just pissed me off again.
And everybody was being stupid again?
And everybody was just being a bunch of dumbasses again. You know, I know with Walking Dead, that kind of happens. You know, where the characters will be likable for a little while, and then they just end up doing something stupid and getting themselves killed. That was the mom in this case, where... It's stupid! My God! You're an idiot! But other than that, it's been getting better this season. This has been a better second half of the season than... pretty much the whole run of the show. So, I like it. Alright, our last thing for Rapid Fire is Gods of Egypt.
Gods of Egypt. When we saw the original trailers for this movie, we knew it was going to be bad. We just didn't realize how bad.
Well, let's put it this way. So, we saw the trailer in the theater, and we were like, yeah, that kind of looks interesting. It's very Stargate-ish. And so, we thought about going to see it, but then we heard the horrible, horrible reviews... And how, you know, they kind of whitewashed the movie and everything else, right? And so we decided, you know what, we're not going to probably watch it in the theater. So we ended up getting it on Netflix. And, you know, sometimes you hear how movies are bad and then you actually watch it and you actually kind of find something that you enjoy about it. Gods of Egypt is a pile of crap.
It's essentially all... The only thing the movie has going for it is the visual effects. But even the visual effects are so over the top that it just takes away from everything else. And the acting was bad. The story itself and the plot was bad. It was so cliche.
You have Egyptian mythology where you have thousands and thousands of years of mythology that you can use. Do you use that? No! You make up your own shit!
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
It's kind of like, you know, the The Clash of the Titans reboot and that other Greek movie they made, the Immortals or whatever it was called, where they just pretty much took existing mythology and then just scrapped it and came up with their own stuff. I'm like, why? There's no need for it. There's already so much awesome stuff to use.
Yep. And so, basically, I think they took $200 million or whatever it was that cost to make that movie and set it on fire, because that would have probably been more entertaining than this movie was. It was a horrible, horrible movie. Do not waste your time. Do not waste your Netflix queue on it. It's basically worthless.
Agreed.
And that's it for Rapid Fire. Up next, we're going to talk President's Day.
When one speaks of the perfect symmetry between science fiction, fantasy, and horror podcasting, with a special emphasis on Doctor Who, one should become a connoisseur of Transmissions from Atlantis, featuring JC and Rita Della Torre. While both will have a passionate and vigorous argument on the subject of the day, they do so with the utmost respect.
What? That wasn't stupid.
You're stupid!
You're stupid!
You're stupid! Stupid!
And dignity.
Commander Riker here! I'm by the book!
Prime Directive, can I
get Prime Directive!
Join Transmissions from Atlantis weekly at transmissionsfromatlantis.com and part of the ESO network. Yes, it's quite good, really.
It's time for our main discussion with your hosts, JC and Rita.
All right, folks, our good friend David Zuckerman, a writer, producer, director, and a movie star of a lot of his own films from Crooked Jaw Productions, actually gave us the opportunity to watch a preview version of his upcoming horror spoof, President's Day. And what did you think of President's Day, Rita?
It was funny. I mean, it had me cracking up from the first scene.
Yep, and I know in the interview we'll probably talk a little bit about specifics of the movie, but what I really enjoyed about the film was that it didn't take itself too seriously, and it poked fun at the horror genre. You could tell that it was something that they really wanted to touch on pretty much every trope you can get to, and so they did. And it was a funny movie. It was interestingly shot, I thought. It was shot almost like one of those sci-fi channel B-movie kind of things. And it was interesting. I laughed a lot. There was a lot of funny scenes. There were some scenes that just kind of make you go, eh. But overall, I had a lot of fun with it. And I'm sure when the movie comes out and, you know, they got everything set perfectly the way exactly they want it, it's going to be a pretty interesting run of film. So without further ado, let's talk to David Zuckerman, the writer, director, producer, star, and pretty much everything else in President's Day.
Mr. Pop. Eat.
Transmission has been received. Now uploading.
All right, folks. Up next, we are going to talk to the writer, producer, and star of President's Day. And he is our good friend, David Zuckerman. David, how you doing, man?
Good to be here, Jason.
So, what possessed you to do something like President's Day? Because it's such a wacky, crazy movie.
Yeah. It's funny because I've actually never really been a fan of horror movies. Because me being a filmmaker, I kind of am always on the behind the curtain, understanding how everything works. So it's really hard to scare me in a movie. So I thought it was kind of the perfect thing for me to just make fun of the genre that I kind of don't like, so that I can enjoy it. Yeah. But it was a weird brainchild that kind of spawned from a joke, because I met two of the other producers while filming YouTube skits for, you know, a famous YouTube star at the YouTube space in LA, and I met Bed Goodwin, who was the other writer and one of the producers. He also plays Rutiger in the film, and Judd Zumwalt, who plays Brett in the film.
Right.
And we made this fake trailer kind of about President's Day. You know, we were going to make it like a skit and everything, and because we thought, you know, let's make fun of these holiday-based horror movies that they kind of churn out every now and then, like Black Christmas or My Bloody
Yeah.
Thanksgiving, and so we were like, ah, screw it, President's Day, because that's the lamest holiday we could think of. And then we shot this trailer, and we were like, yeah, it's fine. But the joke spawned where we were like, wait, what if this was actually like a movie?
Uh-huh.
We could actually like flesh out the jokes. Then we got a bunch of money, and it became a thing.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, some of the tropes that you parodied was hilarious. Like the one girl, Lily, running through the forest, and different parts of her clothing is starting to get ripped off. She even's like, "Come on, that doesn't even make sense."
Right, right. So,
well,
yeah.
The movie had me cracking up straight away from the beginning when you had the one guy trying to kill himself and shoots his own ear off, and we're like, "Oh god, it's gonna be that kind of movie." And we're like, yeah. "Okay, this is gonna be cool."
Yeah,
we let them know right away.
Yeah, pretty much. And so I know one of the questions that Rita and I had was, what accent was Judd trying to do with Brett? Because we still haven't been able to figure it out yet.
So that's...
It was like Valley Gay Guy.
It was like Valley Girl meets Gay Guy meets... Surfer Dude, and we just couldn't quite get what it was.
I ended up showing the film to my brother, who he is actually gay, you know, and so he was kind of trepidatious with like, I hope you, you know, don't make terrible jokes about us. And I'm like, no, of course not. I think you'll quite enjoy it because we're kind of poking fun at everything, mm-hmm. but with a light heart. And the only thing he just couldn't get over, he goes, why is he talking like that? I was like, because he's an idiot. But I think like if you've ever seen like Sean Penn in Fast Times,
yes,
every Fun High. Kind of like that, kind of this Valley Surfer dude, but just as dumb as rocks, you know?
Yeah.
I actually think Brett was my favorite character.
Yeah, we kind of hear that a lot, which is what we intended. We knew he was like the powerhouse character of the first half.
Yeah.
And then comes in John Wilkes Booth to kind of replace that character.
See, that's the one that I fell in love with John Wilkes Booth. He is so funny. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, the actor who plays him was actually our casting director too, and he came in and was just like, yeah, I'd really like to try out for John Wilkes Booth. And I didn't see it at first at how hauntingly he looks like him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tries out, and he instead of playing it goofy and kind of fun, because everyone we had try out were actually a little bigger of a name too, and they did it well, but Michael came in and just played it so subtle and dramatic almost.
Yes.
Which made it 1,000 times funnier. And I even told him, I was like, you know, when we ended up casting him in my direction, kind of told him, like, you know, like, do you ever watch Futurama? He was like, yeah, kind of. I was like, you know how Zap Brannigan is a William Shatner parody? You know how he's always on? Mm-hmm. He is always acting? So is John Wilkes Booth.
Yes.
He's always performing. It doesn't matter if he's on stage or not. And then that's kind of what we got. And I was super happy.
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was definitely one of my favorite parts of the movie.
One of my favorite funny scenes was when Brett is dragging Rutiger out of the house, and all of a sudden it switches to the dummy with the really bad wig, and you're like,
just and that's kind of what's fun about this is like, since it's a horror comedy and we're kind of making fun of these like B horror movies,
mm-hmm.
the tight budget we had actually ended up helping us. We're like, yeah, it's supposed to look bad, like it's supposed to very clearly be a dummy, but at the same time, I feel like in that scene, you're thinking about it, you know? You're like, oh man, Rutiger's dying. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, it's a dummy.
Yeah,
we're not hiding that.
And it was so funny because, I mean, you saw the different color of the hair and the dummy and everything. It was like, whoa, oh my gosh, they didn't really do that. And that's the funny thing is because you guys were low budget, you don't know what was really done for budget and what was really done just to make fun of low budget films.
And that's one thing I like to pride like my crew on, and it's the same crew I work on the Vigilante, and it's like one thing I just love my crew about is that we can work with no money and you can't really tell unless we want you to notice, like the dummy or, you know, some of the blood effects. It's like we just were like, let's just do it, you know, but they're so great. We have such a good shorthand, and I mean, there's no way the movie could have been done without them.
Right.
There's no way.
Well, yeah. I gotta admit, there was one thing that Reed and I were still not clear on even after we watched the movie, And that is, why are the presidents killing teenage kids?
Yeah. No, we know that. Like, it's a bunch of things, right? They're, like, doing a bunch of things, and a bunch of things happen. But I think the main thing that it is it's Max reading out of the book.
Okay.
But it is another thing that we were just like, why? Go back and watch these movies. Why is this happening? You know, that's sure, true. And, like, Evil Dead, they read out of the Necronomicon. But, like, for the most part, it is kind of ambiguous. But we have kind of heard that before. But again, I think it's one of those things where it's like you can kind of take it as it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Now one of the weirdest parts of the movie, for me at least, was the James K. Polk and Lily relationship.
Yeah. That was a road to that, because both Ben and I are both really big history buffs. And as you can tell, like, there's a ton of history jokes if you know your American history.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
If you don't, it's still a funny movie. But if you do, awesome. There's a bunch of highbrow humor. And he really wanted James K. Polk in there. And I kept telling him, I'm like, nobody knows who James K. Polk is. I'm like, what? Like, he's like, no, he's a really, you know, prevalent president. I'm like, no, he's not. And I tested it, and I walked out into the rest of the company who was working on something. I was like, guys, tell me who James K. Polk was. And they're like, I don't know, this name sounds familiar. And I'm like, I rest my case. And so then, but then we realized, like, that's hilarious. No one knows who James K. Polk is. So that was his arc in the movie, is that nobody knows who he is. And then the romance just developed because we realized halfway through the script, like, oh yeah, Ashley's still in the woods, you know. And I don't know why Ben, because this was definitely Ben's idea, that he was like, I think it would be funny if there was a romance between them. And I was like, that's weird. You know, I was like, that's weird. And he goes, let me write it. And if we like it, you know, and he wrote it, and it was that intro scene where, you know, she's like, please, sir, you have to help us, you know, or he's like, let me tell you about the Mexican-American War.
Yeah.
And it, again, a lot of this, just like the movie, spawned from a joke or a stupid idea. And then we're like, wait, that's actually hilarious.
Yeah.
So,
So I really, really enjoyed the film score.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Michael did a great job, actually.
Yeah. We ended up having a composer, Michael Tobin, who I believe I met through a recommendation you gave us.
Yeah.
And just killed it. He, I remember kind of he sent me his reel, and we kind of talked a little bit about what I wanted. But for the most part, it's kind of a gamble when you work with composers, because it's like, and not only that, we were filming and editing this on a crazy time crunch.
Yeah.
Because we have to meet certain deadlines to release, because we're going to try and release it President's Day 2017. We're going to, you know, we were, our premiere was coming up just super fast. And I told him, like, hey, man, it's low budget, you know, it's super rushed, and this is the story. And Michael just was like, yeah, that's hilarious. I do a lot of zombie stuff anyway. And I was like, great. And I heard his stuff, and I was like, you know, this is kind of the idea I want. Mm-hmm. And he ended up just doing a great job. We got so blessed with him.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because we met Michael at a function here in Florida. And after we heard the score that he did with your movie, we actually hired him to do Seekers of the Lost World. So.
Right, yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
There's so many things with this movie that happened that shouldn't have happened. You know, like Murphy's Law, like everything that should go wrong will go wrong.
Yeah.
It was like whatever the opposite of Murphy's Law is, that's the only reason that this successfully came out. Basically, too, like I said, it was everyone who worked on it was just super talented and then just loved the movie. Because that too is, we would show people the script and we would tell them, we don't have a lot of money, we'll pay you, but it's not going to be a lot. Right. And they would read the script and they're like, this is hilarious. I would love, a lot of the actors, the actor who played JFK, Matthew Broussard, he's actually blowing up right now. He was just on Conan.
Oh, cool.
He's starting to become someone. And we showed him the script and he goes, you know what, man, I'm not even going to tell my agent. I'm not going to, let's just do this. I love this. Let's go. And so that was really nice. That was kind of cool seeing how that all worked out.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So so when you said President's Day 2017 is your release day.
That's when we're looking to release it right now, yeah.
So how will people be able to find out more information on it now?
So right now you can find the Facebook page. If you type in President's Day Film, it's like the first one that pops up. If you go to my company's website, which is if you look up Crooked Jaw Productions, and the URL is crooked-jaw-productions. You'll find all the info on it right now.
Cool.
And you can look up the trailers on YouTube. All this promotional stuff is coming for the I know it seems like it's a long time, like February is a long time away. It's not. We have so much work that we're like racking our brain around. But it's
Believe me, we know.
Right. Yeah. So if you look, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us anywhere else if you just type in President's Day film. There is another film that was made, I think, in 2008 that's also called President's Day.
Okay.
That's not us. That one's a little But President's Day, it should be released 2016.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
So
2017,
right. Yeah. All right, so thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you giving us a little inside info on President's Day, and thank you for allowing us to watch the screener of it, because we had a lot of fun with it. It was a really fun movie.
Thank you for bringing us on. You know, really glad you enjoyed it. That's the one thing we love hearing, is just everyone seeming to – they really like it.
Yep, definitely. All right, thanks. Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Jason. Thanks.
Dr. Geek's Moment of Science. Here is the lab director and your human host, Dr. Geek.
Hello, everyone. For today's Moment of Science, I would like to talk about...
Dr. Geek, you have an incoming call from Claire of VK Dynamics.
Hold that thought. On speakers. Claire, what a nice surprise.
Geek, I wanted to tell you, you are right.
Everybody heard that, right?
I am big enough to admit when I hear a good idea.
I had a good idea? Well, of course I did. Which one was it exactly?
VK Dynamics should invest more in renewable energy.
That's fantastic! I have some designs for a new solar array that will...
Bored now.
I know I'm going to regret this, but what did you have in mind?
Wouldn't it be fantastic if we could power a city with wind? Think of it. Chicago could be self-sustaining. With your efficient technology, the residents of that windy city might even get a rebate on their utility bills.
While I applaud your enthusiasm, not even the windy city could sustain its electrical needs solely on wind power. Now, if we combined wind power with this...
Nonsense. I'm not talking about getting a bunch of wind farmers to harvest up a big old crop of wind. A hurricane would be powerful enough. And I'm sure you could harness the power of a hurricane in your fabulous lab.
Well, yes. The typical hurricane produces the energy equivalent of 8,000 one-megaton bombs. But to suggest such a thing is very dangerous, even for you. Wait. You've been watching the Addams Family movie again, haven't you?
Yes. And aren't you always saying fiction can inspire science?
Yes. Yes, I do. Okay. I'll run a few simulations, but don't tell me I didn't warn you. Deus, prepare a new project. Title it, Project Bermuda Triangle.
Acknowledged.
So you have seen the movie?
Of course I have. Deus, modify Reactor 3 with the following parameters. Well, look at that! We are generating a lot of energy. Oh, maybe a little too much.
Attention! Attention! Danger!
I know! We have a containment breach! Well, I know what I'm going to do today. So till next time, remember to apply your geekdom!
This Moment of Science was brought to you by Dr. Geek's Laboratory of Applied Geekdom, a Brazen Wench production, copyright 2015, in association with this network. Join the adventure. Download the full labcast at www.drgeeklab.com and follow us at facebook.com/drgeeklab and twitter.com/drgeeklab.
Hello, this is Nick Briggs, the voice of the Daleks, and you're listening to Transmissions from Atlantis. And I urge you to listen, or you will be exterminated!
Where is the doctor now?
I haven't the faintest idea.
Is that credible?
It's true.
You're the woman he loves.
No, I'm not.
She's lying.
The doctor does not and has never loved me. I'm not lying.
Confirmed. The life form is not lying.
Impossible. This is a trick.
No, it isn't.
My information is correct. You are the woman who loves the Doctor.
Yes, I am. I've never denied it. But whoever said he loved me back, he's the Doctor. He doesn't go around falling in love with people. And if you think he's anything that small or that ordinary, then you haven't the first idea of what you're dealing with.
Your Majesty, I assure you, she is the perfect bait. When this woman is in danger, the Doctor will always come.
Oh, you are a moron. No, he won't.
He's probably already here.
No, he isn't. Of course he isn't.
Possibly on this ship.
Well, go on. Scan it, then. Go on, why don't you?
River.
Two hearts, stupid clothes. You can't miss him.
River.
Go on, scan the whole parsec. He's not here. God knows where he is right now, but I promise you, he's doing whatever the hell he wants and not giving a damn about me, and I'm just fine with that. When you love the Doctor, it's like loving the stars themselves. You don't expect a sunset to admire you back. And if I happen to find myself in danger, let me tell you, the Doctor is not stupid enough or sentimental enough, and he is certainly not in love enough to find himself standing in it with me.
All right, folks, you know that music, and it's time for...
Wee-oo. Wee-oo.
Yep, Doctor Who. And so let's get started with this crazy tit-for-tat. Tit-for-tat? Tit-for-tat, yes. Right?
Tit-for-tat.
Is it tit-for-tat?
Yes.
Am I allowed to say that? I think so. Let's go with that. So tit-for-tat between John Barrowman and Stephen Moffat regarding Torchwood. Apparently, in an interview with the Radio Times, Barrowman claims that certain egos were in the way of Torchwood's return. In fact, he even went on to say, "I'm being told that it can't come back until it got approval from certain people involved with Doctor Who. But that might change when somebody leaves, and when somebody new and wonderful comes in." So, obviously, we know who's leaving Doctor Who after this season. So, he's talking about Moffat, right?
Well, we think he might be talking about Moffat.
Well, Moffat himself actually got that feeling as well. And he says, in the Wizard World Comic Con in Chicago, "You may be aware that John Barrowman has been saying publicly that I've been blocking a new series of Torchwood. To be very clear, I haven't blocked it. I wouldn't block it. I wouldn't even be able to block it. I didn't even know a revival had been mooted till I read that until I read about it on the internet. As John perfectly well knows, it's not my show, and I could no more prevent it happening than he could cancel Sherlock. I'm bewildered and a little cross, even to be included in this conversation. For the record, I really like the show, especially the third series, and would be very happy to see more Monsters and Mayhem. Why not? But the fact is, it has nothing to do with me. Please pass this on to the anxious and the angry. I've had enough hate mail for now."
So, it sounds to me like John Barrowman was... probably talking about somebody else. And if you really think about it, with Moffat leaving, it's probably safe to say that there will be others that work for the Doctor Who franchise that'll also be leaving. Because usually when a showrunner leaves,
a
lot of people leave. There's going to be a lot of change in management and producers and so on and so forth. So Barrowman might not have been specifically talking about Moffat.
I think he was, but I think the problem is that Barrowman didn't know what he was talking about. So I think it was more of a, that he,
that's his belief as to why the show is not coming back, but maybe it's just that there's other people in the BBC that just don't want it. But blaming Moffat, that Moffat's blocking it because he doesn't want competition for Doctor Who, he doesn't want competition for his new show Class, you know, that kind of stuff. So I don't think that Moffat is doing that. I know Moffat lies. We've said Moffat lies many times, but I actually believe him on face value this time, where I don't believe he's blocking Torchwood. I just think that the BBC has no interest in bringing Torchwood back. Torchwood has a very dedicated fan base, a lot like Firefly, if you really think about it, but it's not a huge fan base. I mean, it's even most of the Doctor Who folks that loved Doctor Who didn't watch Torchwood. Some of them did, but not all of them. And Torchwood could never pull the numbers that Doctor Who could.
Well, and you also have to consider this. It might not even be the BBC that could be blocking it. I mean, we know that due to a lot of political changes taking place in the UK right now, there are things going on with the TV industry. Right. And there could be political things that are blocking the show from coming back.
Yeah, I mean, a very conservative government has taken over in the UK, and, you know, they want family-friendly kind of stuff. They're not going to want, you know, Torchwood, which was a little on the racy side. And let's be honest here. I mean, as great as Torchwood was, we all loved Torchwood, it wasn't Doctor Who. And right now, we're just trying to keep Doctor Who on the air, because let's face it, Doctor Who's ratings have dropped since Capaldi has taken over. It's not as popular as it once was in America when Matt and David were here. And on top of that, they're cutting BBC's budget down to bare minimum. You know, so there's a limited budget for the amount of sci-fi shows you can do. And frankly, I'd rather have them spend that money on Doctor Who than Torchwood.
I agree with you. I do. It is good, though, that at least Torchwood is still being kept alive through Big Finish Audios. But I don't foresee the Torchwood television series coming back anytime soon, if at all. It's right. Already been so long since Miracle Day.
Yeah, and I just think that, you know, there's a space for Barrowman to be in Doctor Who, you know, to bring Captain Jack back to Doctor Who. But I don't see a spot for Torchwood at this point. I'm sorry to say that, but I just think that, you know, with the new spinoff coming on and Doctor Who just trying to survive, there's not enough room in the universe right now for Torchwood, in my personal opinion.
Now, if things work out and it does happen to be back, then yeah, that'd be awesome. I would love to watch new Torchwood.
Yeah.
But I just don't think it's going to happen with everything that's going on right now.
Right, and I think, unfortunately for Barrowman, he also burned a bridge to be in the final season of Moffat's run. So he better hope that him and Chris Chibnall have a great relationship, because we're not going to see the Barrowman character again as long as Moffat's here.
Agreed.
Good job, John. Good job.
All right, so speaking of Class is the new Doctor Who spinoff that is going to be premiering Saturday, October 22nd.
Yep.
Now, even though it is going to be take place within a school, it's going to have a younger cast, but it is not going to be a family-friendly show.
Yeah, that was really the interesting thing that I heard about, which is that BBC is warning parents that Class is not a children's show. It's not a show. It takes place in the school. It has kids as the main characters, but it's going to have very adult-oriented themes, almost Torchwood-level adult themes. And I just find that odd, you know, that you would have a show take place in a school, in what in America would be equivalent to a high school, and you're going to not have it be for kids? It's going to be adult-oriented?
Yeah, I agree. In fact, when I first heard about this show, I thought it was going to be something that would probably replace, like, the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Right. And it's definitely not going to be a Sarah Jane. It's going to be something that's more Torchwood-ish. And I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm going to give the show a chance. And we also found out that Peter Capaldi will be in the very first episode. On Saturday, October 22nd, it's going to be a double feature. They're going to air the first two episodes of the series. And in the first episode, For Tonight We Might Die, Peter Capaldi will be reprising his role as the Doctor in that episode. So, awesome. So that'll be interesting to see the Doctor. We're finally going to see the Doctor again after, what, since Christmas. So,
yes.
So that'll be like a little taste of the Doctor before this next Christmas. But yeah, he's going to be in the first episode, and then it's going to be following with Class's own episode after that. So it'll be kind of interesting to see how that all works out. But it's, again, I'm kind of hesitant on this show. I didn't like the idea of the show to begin with. I know when they announced the show, I was a little upset. I'd rather have more Torchwood than Class, to be quite honest with you. But since Class is here, we'll check it out. It's Doctor Who related.
You know, it will take place in the same universe, so it'll be interesting.
It's going to take place in the same universe. They're going to have, you know, new monsters and villains and whatnot. So, you know, it's worth giving it a shot, right? So we'll see how it goes. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this episode of Transmissions from Atlantis. We'd like to thank filmmaker David Zuckerman for joining us. Next week, we'll have more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., more Fear the Walking Dead. I'm sure we're going to schedule an interview with somebody. I'm not sure who yet. We're hoping that it might be a Star Trek-related person, but we'll see how that goes. And in addition to that, I'm sure we'll have more interesting things to talk about. One more thing. We just wanted to mention that the progress with Seekers of the Lost Worlds is coming along nicely. We just got some new effect shots in that were really, really cool. If you want to stay updated on the latest Seekers of the Lost World stuff, definitely check out our Facebook fan group, which is called The Digger Bar. And The Digger Bar is based on an archaeologist hangout, right? So we thought it would be kind of cool. Kind of like, what was the place in Buffy where everybody used to hang out, the bar or whatever? It was like The Hole or, I don't remember what it was called.
It was that one club. Yeah, I don't remember the name of it.
So that's kind of what the concept of the Digger Bar is as well. So, you know, it's called the Digger Bar because they all go digging, right? Because they're all archaeologists. So definitely come and hang out with us at the Digger Bar. We have all of our cast members as part of the group. They answer questions. We talk about archaeological stuff, you know, like interesting discoveries. We talk about movies, your favorite adventure movies like Indiana Jones and, you know, other stuff like that, and we give you some behind-the-scenes stuff with Seekers of the Lost Worlds, including some pictures of while we're editing. So.
And kittens.
And kittens, yes.
And zombie huskies.
And zombie huskies. Why do we have zombie huskies?
Because you told me to.
Did I?
Yeah.
Zombie huskies?
You told me to put cute puppies and kitties on there.
Because everybody loves cute puppies and kitties, but not zombie puppies.
Yeah, but these were cute zombie puppies.
All right. So if you want to check that out, it is on Facebook.com, and the group is called The Digger Bar. You can also check out our Facebook page for Seekers of the Lost Worlds, as well as SeekersoftheLostWorlds.tv. And that'll just about do it for us. Until next time.
Allons-y.
Allons-y. Goodbye, everybody.
Allons-y. I should say allons-y more often. Allons-y. Look sharp, Rose Tyler. Allons-y. And then... it would be really brilliant if I met someone called Alonzo, because then I could say Alonzo, Alonzo, every time.
Run for your life if you have any sense. Run for your life, it's the presidents. They're coming, they're coming, they're coming after you. They're coming, they're coming, it's the red, white, and blue.
President Lincoln, back from the dead. He freed the slaves and now you're head.
He swings an axe with a mighty force, preventing the South from a bad divorce.
They're coming, they're coming, they're coming after you. They're coming, it's the red, white, and blue.
President Washington, he was number one. He's killing teens now just for fun.
Some wooden teeth and a powdered wig. He beat the British.
What?
You dig?
Run for your life if you have any sense. Run for your life, it's the presidents. They're coming, they're coming, they're coming after you. They're coming, it's the red, white, and blue.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.